We warmly welcome Frank as our speaker for this Monday Night Crew Miracles meeting on April 27th. When you speak, it is considered implied consent to have your voice and your share recorded and posted on oafootsteps.com as a podcast. To preserve your anonymity, please use your first name only or an alias when you share. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Frank, take it away.
Thanks, Olivia. Thanks, everyone. Grateful member here, Frank. My compulsive eating was already hardwired in there because I was born with such structural obstructive sleep apnea, so nothing to do with weight, that I would snore so much that the windows would rattle. And it turned out that I was not breathing 126.7 times per hour when I got a machine. So it's entirely understandable why I was going insane, because I didn't get any REM. There was no way to process anything. So I'm still alive because I come to meetings every day, and I've been doing that since 1998. And I went more sporadically before that, being sick, but I learned that no matter how sick I was, I still needed to go to meetings every day, and it was good for my mood. I got to where I was going to 10, 11 a week and various fellowships, and it was friends in Al-Anon with, 40, 50 years of abstinence that got me to be interested and start coming to OA later on. So at age 3, I fell through a basement window well, got a cut on my cheek. So, I had already had, a moderate traumatic brain injury, and the symptom that comes with trauma, many traumas like traumatic brain injury, is addiction. So I became addicted to anything that takes me out of reality. That's just how my brain is wired. It's no big deal. So I'm already compulsive eating, and then at probably without realizing it, and because I never remember not doing it, but too young, of course, it doesn't matter. At age 4, people would say I'm too young, but I remember taking the first drink of alcohol, and it was in my grandmother's fridge. And I'm from a family with generational compulsive eating and generational alcohol problems, and it was just the normal way of life, and my family would be think of beer and wine as like juice. You're just drinking juice, and liquor is a problem, and why alcohol is important, because by the time I was a teen, I got to where I could drink and just crave alcohol, so I didn't have to crave food. I didn't have to eat. So I found out how to control my eating. So by age 6, I clearly knew that, probably because people talking about it around me, trying to shame me, or maybe just trying to explain it to me. But I clearly knew that I was living with binge eating disorder. And by age 8, already qualifying for OA, way too young. But by age 8, I asked my mother to take me to an AA meeting, and she said, "No, we won't be doing that." So I went home to try some controlled drinking, so I could qualify. And that's just crazy. So this stuff progressed really fast, and by the time I was 18, I remember clearly looking in the mirror and pinching myself all the time, and just insane with, how I felt, the body dysmorphia, the deep depression, extreme alcoholism. And so today's my birthday. You can figure out how old I am, knowing that I was 19 when I came into AA, and I'll have 34 years in 3 days with no relapses, because I stay here one day at a time. And during COVID, I was so focused on OA's primary, like there was 6 months at times that I just didn't go to any AA meetings. I can go to OA and Al-Anon to stay sober. Alcohol is something that I use as a food. It doesn't matter where I go as long as I'm in a meeting. For me, because when I'm not here, I become kind of psychotic. Meaning that I'm what my sponsor said, not about me, but about himself one time. He said, "Sometimes you're so crazy, you don't know you're crazy." And I said, "Yeah, I know." And he's like, "Oh, I wasn't talking to you. He wasn't talking about me." So I was like, "I can still, it doesn't matter, you know." And so that's one of the many, many thousands of reasons why meetings are so important. So I turned 19. It wasn't till June 21st till I made it into a meeting, because I was in a coma after knocking myself off a bicycle and breaking my skull here. I broke my clavicle here, had road rash down my back. My parents were told that if I lived through it, I would be staying in a group home with others with developmental disabilities for the rest of my life. And thankfully, I got to come here instead. And at 17, my dad would say at the dinner table, he would say, "When they lock you up, don't call. We don't want to hear from you." And I was like, "You got such a nice guy like me." I just had no idea how OG and crazy my life was. I just didn't know. I didn't know. But by the time, April 25th, 1992, I had already prayed on the 21st. I started step 11, and I was asking God to find a way, so I wasn't gonna, die. So on the 25th, I went to see a counselor. That was a Saturday. The days are the same this year, like it was that year. And the counselor said, "Do you ever find you have to drink three or four when you go out on the weekend?" And I said, "No, I'm still 18 years old, And I said, "I drink five or six before I leave." So on the first, I took my last drink, and in the hospital, I, being off of alcohol, I started craving food and I started eating again. And I remember clearly sitting in the cafeteria in the hospital and thinking, "Man, I guess you're gonna have to start eating again." And I didn't like it, but that's that was just reality, that if I drink, I'll have an alcoholic seizure and my chances are not very good. And if I don't come here, when I came here, I had 25 years over there, and I almost died of wasting disease, like what deer get, or wasting syndrome. And I thought it was, not true, but three separate doctors diagnosed with it, me with it in like 2 weeks. So it got my attention, but I didn't come here. I was just, in La La Land, and until my family said, eventually said in October 17th, all the way out to 2017, they said either you do something or you're moving to Florida. Like, so I was about to get kicked out because of my eating. And so I got online and I started looking at different fellowships, and I found an online OA meeting that was text-based, and I started to go, and I said, "Look, this is what I'm going to do." And so I came here just trying to manipulate another situation. Let's just be honest. That's what it was. So I stuck around, and I learned that I don't have to order such large portions. I don't have to eat everything on my plate. I can eat just till I'm a little under half full. I can box food, and I learned all this stuff here, and I started to apply it. And sometime in 2018, early, I stopped binge eating, and I stopped making myself eat from eating and binging and purging. I stopped. It just kind of, what well, it's like in the big book, it says, instead the problem was removed. It doesn't exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. So that's the state that I reached here 8 years ago. And I stay here one day at a time because I don't want to have to come back from relapse. From that, I have enough struggle with other, with food addiction and sugar addiction and compulsive eating. I'm off of sugar, I'm off of sodas, and I'm off of artificial sweeteners for since 2021 in the summer. So things have been a lot easier. But it's for me, it's simply either I call another compulsive eater instead for some time, or else I might get the idea, hey, let's try some controlled eating, because I'm only going to eat to a little under halfway full because I'm going to stay abstinent, but that doesn't mean I'm going to feel great. So what about when I meet someone and they want to do the steps? One gentleman in the grocery store, he talked about his powerlessness, and that he was willing to believe, and that he had made a decision, and he said that he was, ready to take inventory. And I said, well, when do you want to do it? And he said, right now. And I know from learning and studying Dr. Bob's Keep It Simple approach that the steps, getting up to step eight, can be completed in 3 to 6 hours, if we have already digested the truth about, the powerlessness from the doctor's opinion through chapter three of Alcoholics Anonymous, that, that's the problem. And then chapter four, we agnostics, is the solution. I have to be willing to believe this program works, and willingness is the key. And then in how it works, we get the decision step in step three. And at that point, for me, I decided that I was going to practice these steps. So you're talking March 1995. So that's how long for my, sick brain to digest, which is not bad, really, in the shape that I was in. And the truth is, people that have come and practiced the steps with me in face-to-face meetings, most of them took 9 months going through it over and over again. So, no expectations, and I have to want it. So at my bottom, 30 years ago, I just studying the book. On page 25, I realized I had to accept spiritual help. One compulsive eater talking to another, and once I accepted that, then simply, I had accepted those 51 pages, and like it's all me, especially the ego. And on in Bill's story around page 12, it's 11 to 13, really. That's where Bill goes through the steps with his sponsor, and he's in the hospital. So that puzzled me, like, why am I having such a difficulty with the steps when people were in the hospital going through the DTs when, when it first started? Like, I can't even comprehend that, how that must have been. But because it's so simple that in step one, I'm already reflecting and taking inventory. And by the time I get to step four, they add the words searching, fearless, and moral. And at that point, after we, problem solution program of action, that's it says in a bit, that's the first step in this is a personal house cleaning. And what I like to do is when I'm working with a new individual is just tell them what their defects are. Like, who are you angry at? And they, people, places, things, institutions, and ideas. And if they are, we write them down. And me or them, I'll write the first one for you. I don't care. Anyway, and then I ask about fears, and it says in the big book, fears that don't have a resentment connected. So it's other things that I fear, and then we ask about false pride, feeling better than or worse than others, or that the rules don't apply to me. Selfishness, dishonesty, which includes theft and deception, envy of others' possessions, jealousy of relationships, laziness. And at this point, there are no wrong answers. We just write down any feeling or problem that's there. And at step four, it's just a snapshot. This is what the stuff that's bothering me right now, like pulling someone's hair in the fifth grade. If that's bothering me right now, yes, but I don't need to dig all that up at step four. I'm just looking at what feelings, what are the problems are. The eight step list is made from the individuals that I've harmed, where it's, going to be safe for me to approach them without causing more harm to anyone, family, self, anyone at all. Though when I sponsored a lot of people, I just didn't mention that was coming. And some of them said that if I had, they would have ran out the door. So that was very eye-opening. So while we're doing that, we share the fifth step, reflect that back and forth, and exact nature of my wrongs, and admit it to God, myself, and another human being. So after that, my sponsor instructed me when I did it, when I returned home, to look at the bottom of page 75, where it asked me to meditate for an hour, and then look at steps 6 and 7. So in my case, it took me 3 days, since it took a day to write. Right, I wrote it in one sitting, though. I wrote my step four in one sitting, and then I met with my sponsor on 2 evenings before we hammered it all out. I really thought that he was like enjoying it when he was telling me over and over again where I was to blame, but I can see that now. So after step seven, I, let God have it in the prayer. We use the 7-step prayer at the end of some of the meetings, so some of you are familiar with it. And I woke up the next morning, and some of my inferiority had been removed. So I made an 8-step list from my inventory, and I started making amends, right after that. And one thing that I forgot to mention is that every step, every single one, I had to pray for willingness to get through it until it, and that was, the reality. Anyway, so I made those amends. In step 10, I continue to do, that inventory one day at a time until it comes automatic. Step 11, continue prayer and meditation the whole way. All the steps suggest prayer, and 4, 5, 9, 10, 11, and 12 include meditation, so there's that works anywhere. And of course, step 12, we're all doing it right here. Sharing, observing, and listening are service. My dad would always say I was going to be SOL, and I'm glad it's sharing, observing, and listening now, because that's all 12-step work. And so I'm staying here for the miracles. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Frank. Thank you for sharing your experience right there.
Thank you, Frank.
Let's give our speaker a big round of applause for a wonderful share. Now is our time to ask our speaker questions. As we're still recording, we ask that you put your questions in the chat and I will read them aloud. You're welcome to message them to me directly or to the group. We ask that you don't ask them out loud as we don't have the permission to record other attendees. We will allow up to 15 minutes for questions for our speaker, after which time we will have sharing until 15 minutes after the hour and then in our parking lot. So, Frank, I have a couple questions that have come in here. The first is, when you met the guy at the grocery store, do you feel like that was part of a spiritual awakening?
Yeah, I had been talking to him around town for 7 years, and he just kept being drunk, and he got sober after that, and we found that there are spiritual awakenings at every step. So I was with him while he was experiencing it, and because I was doing step 12, it's right in there. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message. Well, what is it? Having had a spiritual awakening. So you nail it. Great question. Thank you.
Frank, you always say you stay for the miracles. Do you feel that your miracle, being alive after your traumatic brain injury, and to not be able to pass, sorry, and to be able to pass the message of the program? Thank you for sharing your story with us tonight.
Yeah, I played contact sports for many, many years too. So yeah, the miracles are like seems like volumes because I see things happening, on a regular basis that are indeed miraculous, just like in the big book. It says miracle 12 times in from the beginning to page 164. And that's spiritual. So I like that question. Thank you.
So, with that, how have the promises come true for you in this program?
Well, which ones? Like the first one on Roman numeral 3, story of how many thousands have recovered, in our case, from compulsive eating. So I found promises in every single chapter, but the promises that are usually read didn't happen until after step 9, and it says before we were halfway through. So that's halfway through my ninth step. So those, continue to improve over time because fear of people can still sometimes be a problem. Like if they're on the phone, I never like that because I can't smack them. Right? I shouldn't go there. But that's just the angle, that yes, I'm still praying for willingness, and yeah, I can still be afraid of people or economic insecurity, and but most of them, like, we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. That is amazing. Like before, I wouldn't even know how to function, in life, and now, the intuition from all the spiritual awakenings, that's one of them, and one of the promises that we'll have a psychic change, that we'll develop a vital sixth sense and intuition. I'm like, is that like too big? Is that manic? Until there's the point where, that there could be, food addiction, but instead, call another compulsive eater instead, because that intuition, and I feel inspired through practice one day at a time, like in Dr. Bob's nightmare, Dr. Bob did not stop drinking until after step nine. So that's, a huge thing that might be one of the promises. And he didn't have his obsession removed. It wasn't removed until 2.5 years. So he rigorously worked with others every day. So yes, that's what I need to do because my entire obsession isn't removed yet for food. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, thank you. What did it look like or feel like for the inferiority to be removed? What does that mean for you?
It was weird because like opening my eyes, that morning, I already, I was expecting, to feel the same and to feel, somehow transformed inside, so body dysmorphic disorder has, improved over years. And but I used to spend so much time thinking, am I better than or worse than every person? Because I felt, undervalued and, and after that, I don't have to go around, I don't think like that. We're all, we're all like it says, we're all like it says in the big book. And it's being on a Titanic or a sinking ship. So so I'm grateful. Not enough for that one, I guess.
Thank you. Great talk under the rainbow, complete with your rainbow hoodie. So cool. You mentioned certain traumas and how we're sort of inclined for addictions in that it takes us out of reality. On your journey into sobriety, letting go of the food, etc., what has it been like to face reality and feelings instead of escaping? Have you experienced gentleness and goodness in reality?
Yeah, but I like I always say, I stay here. I stay here for the miracles because my checking my record that if I'm here and I'm practicing this, things generally speaking continue to improve or at least stay similar and not, fall off like a jump, like a ski jump. But yeah, if I'm not here, or not here enough, then, I always feel like they just graciously hand me my misery back. So I don't know if that answered it enough.
Thank you. How do you practice your step 11?
Well, perpetually, like as dreams of things come through, continue to pray. I use various forms of meditation. Scanning is one of my favorite. I lay down and my feet hurt so bad when I'm trying to sleep. I just do okay. Focus on your feet. Now forget about your feet. Focus on your ankles. Okay. And it's interesting because by changing my focus, the feet are probably still hurting, but I just keep focusing and I just move up my body. And through practice, I've been able to fall asleep in 2 minutes by the time I get to my hips. So yeah, so meditation works for some of the most difficult things for me. And prayer all the time. And one thing I've been forgetting to do is pray, that I'll be drawn to work with others. And that has always worked for me too. But like I said earlier, prayer is in every step. So, and all over the place. So that's the way I live. And I won't have it any other way.
Thank
Got
you.
more time.
What does your day-to-day program look like now?
What does it look like? I'm on step one at in all I'm because I'm powerless over over things. When I was brand new, I just wrote down everything I was powerless over for a step one inventory at the time. That just It doesn't say you have to do that. It says for step four, that has to be on paper. So helping others through the steps keeps me refreshed. But that's what happens, is that I cycle through the rest of the steps, which really becomes 9, 10, 11, and 12, because 10 is, the other is, kind of 3 through 9. And of course, 11 is all through the steps, and 12 is, constantly and here. So what we say, it'll probably be hard to comprehend right now, but eventually it's just a way of living, and the numbers kind of fall off of the steps, and it's, seems a lot simpler, after that. So that's what it's like.
Did you have any particularly difficult amends to make, and how did you navigate those?
Oh yeah, I like that one. So a friend that was after me, went in school, after my accident. I had made her mad, and she said, "Well, here's what's going to happen, Frank. I'm joining the army, and I'll get trained and all these things, and then I'm coming for you. And when you least expect it, I will be there." So I walk around for the next 7 years, and sometimes my friends would call me and say, "Yeah, she's only 80 miles from you training, she could be looking for you." And that just kept going on and on. And then in 1999, like, the internet was growing, and I was able to find her. So like in step nine, it suggests to send them an honest letter. So I did that, and she replied back. She didn't remember telling me that. And she was wondering if, like, how she could get help getting family members into treatment. So it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. Other ones that I thought would be easier, that in my family, they didn't even want to hear that there is, alcoholism or compulsive eating in the family. They were just in such denial that I just wasn't able to make any amends. And I realized that I offered to pay my dad back from what was stolen. And I remember that my dad had a phobia of receiving money from people, through trauma, really. So I offered to pay him money, and then I realized, oh, that's he just said, "No, don't worry about it." So yeah, what was difficult is that when I went around in Southern Maryland, I found that people said that they were happy that I was sober and into recovery, because no one expected anything out of me anyway. So I'll leave it there on that one.
Thank you. How has your sense of playfulness changed working the steps?
Oh, wow. I was so depressed, that I was just, flatlining, free falling, and ready to go splat sometimes, is how. So yeah, it's hard to have fun, but using the steps, like when we go to food, there's all these foods, there's all these problems, and it's perfect because I could just keep putting all of those problems, adding it to my step one, adding it, using the tools, writing it down in my plan of eating, my plan of action, updating that, and doing all the other, one day at a time, as many as possible, but I always feel like it's never ever enough. But I always felt like I wasn't praying enough for other things enough anyway. But don't take myself so seriously, and relax. And yeah, in the some of the promises, it talks about the fun about doing this. So yeah, this is where it's at. And so yeah, I enjoy being playful. I've never been asked anything with that word like that, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. And then last question, probably, what has surprised you most about your program?
Surprised me most about, well, really, in OA, like I knew that abstinence was like I knew that it was going to be sweeter than any food, just because, seeing those friends, stay abstinent, for their whole life, just completely calm, totally neutral, So yeah, I saw that it worked, but with any program, it just seemed so far for working for me. It just seemed impossible until what my AA sponsor always tells me is to relax and stop fighting it. And that's the key, because I just my struggle is that I just keep fighting. I just keep fighting things, and instead of relaxing, putting it on paper, sharing it with someone else, the sharing part is the healing part. And let's hear from others. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Frank. Thank you for your share and for the Q&A.